Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Tonight's episode of the Voice of Indie podcast is an encore episode. We are not live tonight, so the phone lines are closed. We will, however, be back live again next week. But for tonight, enjoy this replay from December 8th, 2021 with Girl Wears Those Shoes author Jenny Wong.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Good evening. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast, show number 71. We are again live tonight for the first time, I think, in a couple of weeks. So welcome back to everybody in the listening audience. Show 71. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is my co-host, the wounded, Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing, Stephen?
I'm not doing very well at all. How about you, Beam?
I'm doing all right. I'm probably doing better than you are. So I'm ahead of the curve there.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a story to tell. People who've known me for a long time know that, you know, way back in the day, I used to be a professional musician in addition to, you know, all the other Renaissance guy kind of things that I've been doing over the years. Like in high school, I played in a professional band with guys in their 30s and 40s. And earned enough money so that my first car was a brand new car I ordered from the factory. And I helped pay for my way through college and stuff by playing in a band in high school. And then years later, I used to compose and produce music for television shows and for animated openings and things like that. And over the years, I got involved in so many other things, and music tends to be less lucrative than other things, that I kind of let that go for a long time. Well, a couple years ago, I pulled out all my old gear, had it refurbished, and started getting my hands back so that I could really play well again, and started writing music. And I went out and invested a bunch of money in new equipment and hired an audio engineer who was supposed to start last week to come help me set up so that I could start recording my own album, just as a free time kind of a thing. You know, after I get through with Robert Willis Croft's book covers, that I would have a little bit of time to do some music again, get my music back. So I was excited about that, but I put this engineer off a week so that I could go to Michigan to see Genesis with my good friend and co-host Beam Weeks. I've been a Genesis fan for more than half a century. Used to go see them back in the days when nobody knew who they were. Peter Gabriel was the singer. Steve Hackett was on guitar. And this appears to be their farewell tour, and I was not going to miss it. So I went up to Michigan, and then the day before the concert, I was going through an intersection, and a guy who was sitting at the red light decided he didn't want to wait for the green, and he jumped out in front of me across both lanes, and I had no time to hit the brake. The airbag fractured both of my hands fairly badly. Like yesterday's surgery, for example, I'm right-handed. Yesterday's surgery was on my right thumb, and the middle bone of my right thumb was in 7 pieces. But luckily, I've got the sports surgeon who does professional and college football players' hands down here at the Andrews Clinic in Birmingham, Alabama. And she's putting my hands back together for me, says I'm going to be fine in a couple of months, and that I can be back to work doing stuff here in the next week or so. So I'm kind of excited about that. But the problem is, I'm in a lot of pain today. I really am after yesterday's surgery, and it's kind of tough for me to sit here for a whole hour. And I picked up something, some kind of virus or something, while I was at the surgery center. So I'm having coughing jags today, and I'm kind of worried about this show being, you know, where I start coughing. And I don't have a mute on my microphone. So we're going to do our opening stuff here today, and then I'm going to turn the show over to the co-host, Beam, and let him interview our fascinating guest while I listen in. But in the meantime, I just wanted to let people know, those of you have heard that I was hurt, I really appreciate all the support you've been offering, and I want to assure you that, you know, there's a few things here that are delaying a few weeks. Robert G. Willis Cross cover has been like the number one thing on my list for a couple of weeks now. And excuse me. But, you know, we're getting things caught up and doing the best we can. And we expect to be back on track here pretty soon. So, again, thanks to everybody for all of the support. Now,
yeah,
when we were up there, I went up there to see Genesis. And I'm telling you, I was determined to see Genesis. This accident was the day before the concert. So 27 hours after the accident, I was with Beam standing out in the freezing wind outside Little Caesars Arena in Detroit waiting to get in to see Genesis. And I was in all kinds of pain thinking, you know, you got to be out of your mind. If Genesis only knew how loyal a fan I am out here, you know, trying to do all this. And I was just standing there freezing and thinking, you know, you got to be out of your mind. But hey, life is short, you know. And a guy in the line next to us noticed my hands. And what did he do, Beam?
He said, wow, we got a trooper here. And I had to explain to him. I said, yeah, this guy busted both of his hands just, you know, less than, at that time, 24 hours or 27 hours earlier. And his hands were bandaged up, one in a cast. And I said, he wasn't going to miss Genesis. So, yeah, and we saw Genesis. Fantastic show. I'm going to put some, I recorded some of the songs. I'm going to put those up on my YouTube channel here eventually, when I get some time, and just a good time. We had a good time despite your injuries. It was we had a lot of fun.
Genesis has never let me down, and they didn't on what is probably their last tour, so I was glad for that. And by the way, you writers out there, go ahead.
I'm a headbanger. I'm into heavy metal and the hard rock stuff, but I love all kinds of music. And I got to tell you, man, this Genesis show, it was one of the best shows that I've ever been to, honestly.
Yeah, it was like 2.5 hours, almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
How many songs they do?
23 songs. And compare that to, I saw Megadeth in concert back in September, and they are 10 years younger. The guys in the band are 10 years younger than on average than the guys in Genesis. And they did less than half of that. They did 11 songs, Megadeth did, and then they were done. So those guys in Genesis who are all in their 70s, 23 songs, 2.5 hours. Man, hats off to those guys. Kudos.
Yeah, check out Beam's channel on YouTube and see what those videos are. I've also heard that the entire Chicago show has been posted on YouTube, too. So if you're a Genesis fan, it's a visual extravaganza and musical wonder. So go check that out. But just to show you that no matter how hurt I am, I'm still always the editor. When that guy on the line announced, hey, we have a trooper here, the first thought that came into my mind was, I wonder if he knows that that's spelled T-R-O-U-P-E-R, which is a mistake a lot of people make. They, you know, they say, hey, what a trooper. And they're thinking O-O-P-E-R. And that's not
yeah.
it. It's a member of the troop who is being supportive. So you writers out there, if you're ever referring to somebody being a real trooper, that's T-R-O-U-P-E-R. So,
all right. I'm going to bounce this phone bumper here. Listeners, if you want to call in and talk to our guest tonight, here's how you can do it.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the Body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
All right.
Now, we've got a few new books out that have come out in the past few weeks. They're either in pre-release or have actually been released now, and one of them happens to be our bestseller this past week. And wow, I was fell off the chair. I just about fell off the chair when I saw these numbers. Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, which is 65 fascinating excerpts from the memoirs of famous and infamous women, compiled by J. Ash Looney. And this has got fantastic, beautiful caricature artwork of these 66 women, because we count the Wilson sisters, Anne and Nancy of Heart, as one entry. And both the hardcover and the softcover, this is a big square book, an oversized book too, and a fairly expensive book, but it's doing great. So get out there and get your copy ordered and see what that's all about.
All right. There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond After the Emancipation by Abigail Miriam Hamilton Hugini will be released on December 14th. So keep an eye out for that. This is a really interesting book. This woman compiled these stories of individuals who come from this small little backwater town that was basically descendants of former slaves, but there were so many of them that just rose up out of there and became university presidents, doctors, lawyers, just an incredible story there. Now, before we get too far, I want to throw out some of these tweets here that are on Twitter because it's addressing what you just spoke about, Stephen. Robert Willis Croft, Robert G. Willis Croft, he says, I trust things are getting better and that you will be fully recovered soon.
Count on it.
Marlena Smith, she says, oh, my word, Stephen, I am so sorry to hear that and pray for a quick and full recovery.
Thanks,
so there
Marlena,
you go there.
Such a sweetheart.
And Verwayne Greenho, he's got a couple of things to say. He says, ow, sorry, I'm sorry to hear that, Stephen. I've seen that double wrist fracture in my career many times, and never once did it look really fun. Lisa and I wish you a speedy recovery. And he also said, talking about Genesis with those guys being in their 70s, that 70-plus, anything you do is for the love of the game. I agree.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, these guys have made their money many times over. They're out there doing it because they love it. And they're doing it for us fans, too. In fact,
yeah.
Phil Collins was practically tearful toward the end there when he said, you know, I want to thank all of you for all your support over all these years and for being with us, you know, especially those of you who went all the way back. And that's important. You know, like when I went and saw the Monkees a couple months ago, Mickey Dolenz got tearful because, you know, that was their farewell tour. And he's talking about, you know, you people, you're coming here tonight to see something that's you're not going to see again. This is the last time these things are going to happen. And you have to appreciate your culture. You have to appreciate the things that you love in life and participate in that one last time if you have to, even if it means standing in the damn cold with broken hands waiting in line.
Yeah. All right, listeners, if you missed an episode of this show, here's where you can find the archives.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive, in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
Got to get you a mic with a mute on it.
Yeah, I've definitely been thinking about that. Another book that's out now is Patricia A. Guthrie's Legacy of Danger, and it's a great scary thriller set in Transylvania with a ghost and all kinds of cool stuff. And, you know, when we were making the video for that, which, by the way, is over on YouTube in the Fresh Ink Group channel, like, subscribe, tell all your friends, watch it again. I remember we were looking for some scary sound effects for it, and I finally came up with one. The noise I make if I bump one of my hands right now will curdle your blood. I'm telling you. There's been a couple of times. I got my 85-year-old father living with me. Bless his heart, and he has been, wow, what a help this past week and a half, especially when it's like I'm trying to put my shirt on and I'm all tangled up in it, and it's like, ah, you know, help. But there's been a couple of times I bumped a hand and made some real noises that he comes running like, what's the matter? What's the matter? You know, just bumped it.
Okay, so speaking of Robert G. Willis Croft, The Ort Federation to the Stars, the second Ort Chronicle by Robert G. Willis Croft is coming soon. And as Stephen mentioned, he's been working on that book cover and will hopefully have it done before too long. So keep that in mind.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What's what?
What's what? Now, I want to mention one more book before we get to the interview today, but I just thought of something else that I thought might be a little public service announcement, something to mention too. The airbag is what broke both of my hands. And
yeah.
I never heard of that before. And when I got to the emergency room, they looked at me and they said, airbag. And apparently that's a common thing. And I didn't know that. And I have been hearing from other people since then. I've heard from a woman who airbag broke her clavicle. I heard from a guy who airbag broke the ulnas in his arms, both arms. And other people who had ribs broken, stuff like that. And the woman at the emergency room said that her daughter's taking driver's education. And she said that now in that driver's ed class, they're teaching them the old 10 and 2 is no. Keep your hands at 9 and 3 and keep your hands on the outside of the wheel. Now, see, I have a tendency to hook my thumbs over the inside of the wheel, and that's what did me in. So they're teaching young people now, keep your hands on the outside of the wheel, keep them on each side of the wheel, And if you're about to hit something and there's nothing else you can do, take your hands off the wheel. Don't let the airbag get them. Let the airbag get you in the face and chest.
Now, before you you do this book that you're going to talk about here, I see on Twitter, Helen is saying, "Hey, Beam, who is Mike in the meantime?" I have no idea what she's talking about.
Mike in the meantime. Mike and the mechanics.
Did I say something that sounded like Mike in the meantime? I don't know.
It makes me think of Mike and the Mechanics, Mike Rutherford from Genesis, his own solo band. But,
but I don't
Helen,
know.
Throw us another tweet, Helen, so we understand what the question is. But to get to the next book here, it's a book called Girl Wears Those Shoes by one of our newest authors, Jenny Wong. And I'm going to bow out here, turn off my microphone so you don't have to listen to me cough. And, let's meet Jenny and listen to Jenny and Beam talk for a while. I've been looking forward to this. That's Girl Wears Those Shoes. It's in pre-sale now. All of the editions are available at all of the retailers. And the release date is December 14th. Just in time for a great Christmas present. So, Girl Wears Those Shoes by Jenny Wong, and I'm going to turn it over to you two. Thanks for all your support, everybody. Have a good podcast.
Take care. All right. After two decades in the real estate industry, Jenny Wong has established her brand, Jenny Wong Houston, with J. Wong Properties, a boutique agency with a personal touch, and J. Wong Media, a custom video production team for promotion and marketing. An active community booster, Jenny is the past president of the Women's Council of Realtors Houston Network, an ambassador of the Houston Ballet. She holds a lifetime membership in the University of Houston Alumni Association. Author of her debut novel, Girl Wears Those Shoes, Jenny Wong is proud to live her principles even as she pursues her own unique vision. Welcome to the show, Jenny. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fantastic. Thank you so much for the introduction. Hello, everybody.
All right. So let's start this off by telling everybody where you're from originally and where you've lived on your journey to Houston.
I was born and raised in Beijing, China, far away. I came to Houston 30 years ago, graduated from Hotel and Restaurant Management, Houston College of Hotel and Restaurant Management, University of Houston. So I've been in Houston for a while, so I'm a Chinese Houstonian.
A Chinese Houstonian, Chinese American Houstonian. Mm-hmm. All right.
right.
Now, growing up in China and then coming over here, what kind of childhood did you have? Were you into reading and writing back then, or were you into other things?
So I was born in a professor's family. So both of my parents worked for Beijing Normal University. So I was in the university exemplary schools in elementary school, middle school, and high school. Sorry to be short, yes, I love to read. And when I was little, I enjoyed my sick days. My mom got me a pile of books, all those fairy tale stories. And so I enjoyed the sick days at home. I didn't have to go to school, and I'll just enjoy my reading, the stories. And so when I was in school, I loved the writing class. And of course, it was in Chinese. And I did really well in English class, just because my mom started me to learn English when I was very, very, it was just early years and when I was little. So I did really well in English, but we didn't do so much of writing in English. But I love to create stories in Chinese. And my little friends in school, they all love my stories.
So you were a storyteller early on.
Yeah, I love that. I enjoy that. And but then when I came over here to attend University of Houston, I thought I could write in English, and then turned out to be I just flunked the English class immediately. And then I realized, well, you know, there's a quite a bit difference in English writing versus Chinese writing. And now if you ask me to write in Chinese stories, then I it will be a challenge. I cannot do it well either. So I'm like somewhere in between.
Now, you came from Beijing specifically to go to college here?
What happened was my mom came over here to she was a chemist, and then of course both of my parents retired, so she worked as a research scholar at the chemistry department in University of Houston in U of H, and my dad was more on the executive side of the education, you know, universities. And of course, he was from being a chemist, turned out to be an executive officer in that field. So then, to answer your question, my mom's boss came to China to visit. And so we really enjoy each other's company, and we took him to Great Wall. And then he said, well, you should really come to U of H, come to Houston. There's this really nice hotel school. You should go. So then you get to work in all the fancy hotels, and you travel and all that. So I said, well, sounds good. So that's what happened. So he was my sponsor.
Okay. Now, when you came over here and you started going to college, you said University of Houston. What was your major? What did you major in? What was your goal?
The hotel. So we have this really famous, now it should be number one nationwide. It's Hilton College Hotel and Restaurant Management. So it used to be when I went to the hotel and restaurant management, and it was Cornell University was the number one hospitality college in our country. But right now, I believe our Hilton College here is the number one.
Wow, okay.
It was a really fun memory. But like I was saying, you can never go back home. And I think years ago, how long ago was that? I think it was around 2000, maybe 2009, 2010. So they did a major renovation on the hotel hotel and the school. And it's beautiful. It's more contemporary style versus before. It was more of a Scottish style. Because the school itself has, you know, the college part, and then we have, you know, all the kitchen. We learn how to cook, and then the other side is real Hilton Hotel. So what we did was we'll go to classes, and then we work in the restaurant, and some work at the hotel, and I work in the restaurant. So that's a long story, a lot of fun memories.
Yeah. I mean, you always look back on the, you know, something you did in the past, and you had your group of friends back then, and it's always a lot of fond memories. I enjoy getting with people that I used to know way back and kind of shooting the breeze with them. Now, aside from being a writer, your day job is real estate. How did this come about? How did you get into real estate? What drew you into that?
Well, good question. So continue to my growth path. So after, you know, I love, at first, you know, came from Beijing here to the States. Wow, you go to grocery stores, there's so much food everywhere, okay? So I was this little hungry bird. So I love working the restaurant, so to be close to the food, you see. And so I work in a restaurant because, you know, it's a great school. It's this, like, take the practical. We had to have 400 minimum hours. Like, you actually got to work in the hospitality industry. So I chose to work in the restaurant. And I was the waitress, which still, you know, if anything fails, what I do, I can always go back to wait tables. I love that. So I was a waitress and supervisor after I graduated from our magic kingdom. Naturally, I landed a job as a manager of the real restaurants out there, you know, in Houston. And so that wasn't fun anymore. So you got to manage real people, from teenagers to Spanish-speaking chefs. And so, you know, when we work at school, we actually work with each other. So we're all students. But then you step in the real world, you work with, you got to manage the operation and all kinds of other people with education, without education. And so so I realized, you know, I had no ambition to become from manager to general manager and to be a sous chef or anything. I just was not interested in it anymore. And then I'd fight with customers, you know, if they complain about food. So so I was the kind of person, you know, I was good enough. They didn't want to fire me because, you know, it's a high turnover labor force in working the restaurants. But I was not good enough for them to, you know, promote me or anything. You know, they're just like, you know, if you behave, so we don't have to come over here and visit you and sit down with you and talk about customer service, you see. But I just kind of lost myself and thinking, well, you know, as an Asian, you know, everybody has a master's degree, especially I grew up from a professor's family. I was already a black sheep, you know, got a bachelor's degree, and I had no ambition to get a master's degree or a PhD. You know, everybody around me was like that. So I was like, you know, maybe I should. So I went back to school, took some courses of the graduate program. Then I got bored again. I was thinking, well, then my friends were talking to me and say, well, what are you doing? What do you want to do? Are you going to, you know, get a job, work for a corporation, and then get your master's degree, you know? So I was like, no. So I had to think what I really wanted to do. And then I knew this group of friends, which I acknowledged them, and they, the broker owner of Remax Metro and his friends. And so so they got me think about to do the real estate, which I absolutely knew nothing. But, you know, I got to do something to get out of the restaurant's business. You know, things were just, you know, to me, I just feel like lost the direction of my life, and I feel like I want to do something different, you know.
I've felt that too.
That's how it happened. Yeah, that's before you know, 20 years passed by. And so here I am. I was with Remax Metro for 16 years as a Remax agent. And then I just jumped again and didn't really have a really clear direction, but I knew I gotta do something different. So I got my broker license, and just from there, things just step by step, baby steps, and things all came together. I built the company to what I see. You know, I believe my vision, and I just did one step at a time. So, yeah, you asked me how did that, you know, how's that have anything to do with writing? So here is about me. You know, have you ever taken a test to like test your whether your left brain or your right brain or, you know?
I've not taken the test like that before. No, I know people who have, but I haven't.
So I feel, I probably it wasn't like a facial test anyways, but I just play around it. I still remember, I feel that, okay, I like analytical things, you know, that's my right brain. The left brain is working, but my right brain, and it's the creativity, which every time I do creative work, and I'm so happy, I'm just like, boom, just zoom in. So I've always loved writing. But I thought, well, you know, got to make a living, right? You got to, you know, one day I'll sit down, I can just write. So thanks to my mom, you know, mom always tells you as what it is. She was just like, you keep on talking about it. When are you going to, you know, do it? Maybe you just need to start to do it.
That's what you got to do.
So that's how it happened, because, you know, as an author yourself and the listeners, this is the author's group. And I'm pretty sure people feel I'm not the only one, because, you know, when it comes to, I'm a novel lover. I love to tell stories. And I thought if I ever would sit down and write, and I would write, I want to be a storyteller. I want to write creative story, just because my right part of the brain is starting to go crazy. And I talked to myself, and I did videos. And I started to do the videos because I wanted to be more professional than keep on using my phone posted on social media. I love social media. And then I started to feel like I talk too much too. You know, I was just thinking, well, if I wanted to do all that, I may as well sit down and be serious about this and just start from somewhere. And so that's how it happened. And it's really making me very happy. I started to get on this journey. And because it got to the point, this was the holidays of, I remember the holidays, probably the holidays 2018. And I started this in July of 2019. So the holiday of 2018, and I felt like it started to blow up. And I constantly thinking about, you know, I was telling myself stories. So I was just like, well, you know, someday it will come out. And surely, you know, you found the time and it came out. So I just had to put it down. So that's how it happened.
Okay. We do have a caller. But before we go to the call, we have a question on Twitter from Marlena Smith. She wants to know, what was your first impression of the United States when you arrived here?
Good question. So I first arrived in San Francisco at the airport, and I got off the gate. My mom placed a friend to pick me up. I got off the gate, the terminal gate, and I saw this young guy drove a truck passing by in front of my eyes, and he had one hand on the wheel and the other hand was holding the soda bottle, and he just took a soda, you know, the big styrofoam cup, and he took a sip of it and he drove by. I was like, how cool is that? I want to be him. So that was my first impression. And second impression, of course, the little guy came over, picked me up, and drove through San Francisco, you know, the freeway. I was like, wow, it was gorgeous. It was very beautiful.
All right. So you want to take this phone call?
Sure.
All right. Hello, caller. I think I know who this is. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Robert from Houston.
Hi, Robert. I knew this was you. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hi, Robert.
Hello,
Robert
Jenny.
McKenzie, everybody.
Doing?
Author of The Chair, Volumes 1 and 2, and soon to be Volume 3.
Woo-hoo!
Getting there.
So,
hi, author Robert.
Yeah, some questions.
How long did it take you to write the book? I know you said 2018, but did you work on it daily or a couple hours at night, on the weekends?
So I started in July 2019. And so when I first started, it was slow. It was going slow. And I started sometime in the afternoon. I started like, and then from the first part three, I did eventually, and then I stopped, and I couldn't proceed on part four until a few months later, and that was 2000. Yes, that was 2019 in fall. We came back from Italy from vacation, and I was in the airplane, and I started to work on the part four. And then, and schedule-wise, I finally learned, you know, late in the afternoon, this will not work, you know. And it will work all day, and we have show houses. And then, you know, if I'm lucky, get back home after 5:30, and there will be one time I got to have a glass of wine. So that just knocked out
wine
clear
time.
Mind and try to create anything, you know. So eventually, to answer your question, I think early morning time works. I finally, once I have that schedule, it started to help me to really focus. You know, get up early, focus at least for a couple of hours and do some real work. And so that really helped me to speed up the whole thing.
Nice.
What about
nice.
You, Robert?
I don't do much. So if I write, it's from 4 a.m. till 8 a.m. because then it's dead silent and a few gunshots are going off. And the traffic is died down. So I'm at peace when I use a pencil or type or voice some things into my iPhone for notes and somehow cut and
that
paste
works.
Everything together. Yeah. Well, cool. Listen, I got to ask. Look, I ordered it. I'm getting the hardcover with the commemorative dust jacket. So
right.
I can't wait to get this thing.
It's
I guess
beautiful.
It'll show up sometime after December 14th. And so that'll be exciting. Let me ask you this. I read some about this, and I met you a couple times. Who is your favorite shoe designer?
There are two. I'm very loyal. One is Louboutin. And the other one is Jimmy Choo. Is Jimmy Choo? Yes.
I have a pair of Jimmy Choos.
You do?
Just kidding.
You wear them to the party tomorrow?
If I did, I would. You know, if I could, I would. Very important designer.
Yes. This shoe.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah. The theme of my book is the right sole. It's the Louboutin, and they're just fantastic. They're a fantastic piece of art.
I'm looking
forward
to that.
when I was – I edited Jenny's book, and when I was going through it, if people are fans of the TV show Sex and the City, with all the shoes and all that stuff that those girls talked about and wore and all that, you'll like this book. It's got that vibe to it, that kind of an element. But only instead of being in New York, it's set in Houston, and it's, you know, dealing with the real estate market, and it's really cool. We do have another caller as well, so.
Let me ask you, Jenny, did you ever start writing one day and felt, I can't stop because if I lose this moment, I'm going to miss out on something?
Oh, absolutely. And I think there are oftentimes the best idea is really middle of the night. You know, I wake up and then I was like, in business, in creativity, you know, I was like, wow, you know, this is what this character is going to do next. And So meaning that I need to get up early and write it down and just keep on moving and live in that character and talk to the other one. It's a lot of fun, create, you know, build the characters and all that. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Robert, we're going to have to tell Alexa to do something.
We're going to have to move on, Robert. We got callers lining up, so we got to move on to the next caller.
All right.
But thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Robert.
Good luck.
Thanks for showing up, brother.
Bye.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take this caller here is area code 832. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Steve. I'm calling from Tomball.
Hi, Steve. Welcome
to
the show. You got a question for tonight's guest?
Yes. I've read just the teaser on your book, and one of the things I was interested about for you is, for you, what was the biggest challenge that you faced as a Chinese-American woman in reaching your goals to become a successful real estate broker?
That's a big question, Steve. Well, number one, it's really that I got to speak well. But in Houston, and I appreciate this diversity in Houston, that a lot of people have accent. But when I first started I started with nobody, what was unknown, okay? I was an X factor, unknown. So I did not know anybody, did not have any network, and seems like everybody was hustle bustle, doing really well, and here I was. Didn't know anybody. I got to put myself out there. And so I had no idea what to do on this marketing. So that was the biggest challenge, was that I tank all my savings into this image marketing, put my headshots all over the place, and advertised on the newspaper and thought that way I would get a call. I don't know if that has anything to do with being Chinese in American real estate. I think that happens to every new realtor who was not born from a real estate family, who just jumped into this business without knowing anybody. And so that was the biggest challenge. And then on top of that, of course, I gotta really present myself well. I gotta speak well. So if people didn't understand me, I mean, Houston is a tough market. It started when I started, it was tough. And I could answer the phone. If I learned it quickly, too. I pick up the phone. Whew, the other tiger over the phone could chew me up when I first started to say, well, you know, my buyer feel there's an update that needs to be done on the house. Well, let me tell you something, okay? This house, I already told you, it needs work. So we're pricing it right. Blah, blah, blah. So, whoo, you know. But I guess it was good. You know, you learn from the tiger. You grow up fast. you know. And so I also got a hang up calls because I couldn't speak. I mean, there it was intimidating at the time, you know. Now everybody texts, but at that time when I started the business, I got to get on the phone. I got to speak. So you got to get right to the point. Accent is okay as long as you have your presentation ready. So I was, one of the biggest challenge too. And then I started to learn to do the referral. Okay, I learned the referral, but getting on the phone to talk to strangers was a challenge. And I locked the door, big folders, and I tried to call. Hi, I didn't know what to say. Hi, how are you doing? Good to talk to you. And so, you know, you don't talk about the weather either, and you know, at that time. So I hope I answered your question, Steve.
Yeah, that's good to know. Thank you.
All right, anything else, Steve?
You're welcome.
No, thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you for calling
thank
and being
Steve.
Part of the show.
Thanks.
All right. We got another caller, but before we take this caller, I'm going to go ahead and throw in a commercial here for a book that is coming out. Where's that date at? It's a release date of December 8th. That's today. So this is Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy by Jay Ajmuni.
Every person has a private life and a secret self. This is true of those we know and people we only know because they are famous. Discover fascinating, intimate, clever, witty, poignant, insightful tales from a diverse roster of notable women who dare reveal both the unknown and the previously undisclosed. But these are not gossipy tales. No, they are personal, anecdotal, always meaningful stories for quiet reading, sharing aloud, even performing from the stage. Compiled by Detroit playwright Jay Ajlooney, Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, 65 fascinating excerpts from the memoirs of famous and infamous women, is illustrated with whimsical portraits that capture these remarkable celebrities at their best. Choose your own from laminate hardcover, softback, and digital editions, all proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Come away with a richer appreciation of these talented women and smile for permitting them to entertain you in unexpected and delightful ways.
All right, now that's actually available for pre-sale today. So get over to Amazon. Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy. It's a really cool book. Now, we do have another caller, so we're going to take this call and find out what's going on here. Hello, caller. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello. That's you. 281, area code. Hello, going one.
Yes.
Hello, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Dale. Calling for Jimmy
Hi,
Wang.
Hi, Brother Dell.
Well,
how are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
I'm from Sugar Land.
Okay. You have
I do. In your book, Jenny, you choose real estate transactions. You choose them specifically to have Gigi do those transactions. What led you to those transactions, those specific transactions? Because they're very specific.
Yes. So, Gigi. So here's this is a good question. So originally, this was a process of a development. So those when I first wanted to write this story because. I wanted to share some very interesting transactions, real estate transactions, and put it as a storytelling to share with our young professionals. It does not have to be realtors and young professionals and want to, you know, dream to be entrepreneur. And so based on my real experience as a reference and based on agents' friends and as a reference, So I put together these transactions, and I thought it would be worth to share how to solve problems in the residential and commercial real estate, how things could arise during every transaction, how every file is a story, how as a realtor, the reason we have a job is because we are great problem solvers. It's because we represent best interests of our clients. We can tackle those issues, and that's why we have a job. And so that was the first round. I wanted to, you know, it was a transaction after transaction. Then the second round, I realized, well, this is not a novel. This is not a fiction, you know. And who's going to be interested in going through the transaction after transaction other than me? And so the second round, I started to build the roles, to build the characters.
Well, I thought that was very
significant.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go
no,
ahead,
I just thought it was very significant that you chose those transactions. So there's a lot to learn from the book. It's not the story's great, but there's a lot to learn from the book. I think the viewers need to know that reading the book, you can learn how to do real estate transactions.
Yeah, I can verify that because I did the editing in it, and I learned a lot of stuff about real estate that I didn't know anything about.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty
significant.
I think it was significant in how you placed it, so that you know you're having fun in the book, but yet you're learning something about real estate, and it's very you combine it together really well, so that you don't even the next thing you wake up and you're saying, hey, I'm learning something about real estate.
And who knows, you
that's
might inspire somebody to get into the real estate industry after they read your book.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate that comment, Dale, very much, because what I'm thinking, my approach is, okay, I want, because I'm a novel lover, so I want people to have a good time when they go through my, when they read through my book. And my mission of my business is to bring joy and value to others. So if people can enjoy, that's great. If people can get value out of it, that's even better. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, there's things to learn I would like to share with young professionals. And so if they want to learn, they can take something with them. But if you don't want to learn, at least you're going to be entertained.
That's for sure. It was a very entertaining, it's a very entertaining book. And it's awesome for the listeners. It's an awesome book. Absolutely, go out and get it. And I'm done.
All right.
Thank you for calling and being part of the show, Dale.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
So before we move on, Jenny, I'm going to read a tweet here from Twitter. Marlena Smith, this is going back to earlier when you were talking. You had master's degrees and you were kind of the black sheep and you weren't quite sure what you wanted to do yet. She says, there's no rule that you have to stick to one passion or skill. I've never been able to do that myself. And I think you have such an impressive background, Jenny, hotel, restaurants, real estate, and writing. That's author Marlena Smith that said that.
Thank you so much, Marlena.
Now, I'm going to play the commercial for Girl Wears Those Shoes, and then when we get done with that, we can talk about the book, and we can let everybody know what it's about a little more in-depth.
Great.
Aspiring young Chinese immigrant, GGO, survives by working as a stripper, but she strives for true success in the U.S. real estate industry. Navigating this highly competitive business is tough, especially when her only support comes from the deeply flawed man she loves and her old cohorts from the strip club. Issues of betrayal and trust, loyalty and commitment complicate her goals, even as one lesbian friend adds new dimensions to her understanding of love versus desire. Then the market crashes and financial turmoil threatens to rob GGO of all she has achieved. Can she find new ways to chase her dreams and still manage to keep her clothes on? Or might she find a better reason to take them off? Girl Wears Those Shoes is a tale of love and power. The story of one woman who wants to make the world her own, if only she can figure out how. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Girl Wears Those Shoes is available in all hardcover, softcover, and all digital formats worldwide.
All right. So with that, let's talk about Girl Wears Those Shoes. First of all, where did you get the idea for this story?
I dream to write a fiction, a story. And so, you know, as an author, you probably know, sometimes you just, ideas just flash through your head,
uh-huh.
and then they started to sink and started to sink. So the shoe idea was one day, I remember clearly, I was driving on the freeway. I was like, okay, if I write something, so, you know, daydreaming in the traffic. Okay, if I write something, what will be a title, you know? So the shoe just keep on flashing in my eyes. Of course, my fine shoes, and I love my shoes. I put them on display in my closet, and every new pair I have, I'm going to display it on my dining table for a few days. I'm just, you know, I just think that's a piece of art. They're just not shoes. And so the shoe idea was there, and it was just like pieces, different pieces. You know, I got to put it together. The shoe ideas was there, and the reference from the real estate transactions. And I think in my business, you know, there are a lot of self-help books and out there, and I mean, that is not my thing. I just don't want to write. I don't ever want to write. I never say never. So it is not my thing to write a, you know, teaching book type of thing. And so I wanted to paste the story together. So I was just thinking, well, if I could, you know, put the different parts. So Girl Wears Those Shoes, this title, eventually from driving in the traffic, having the idea. And so I was like, okay, so it's going to be like, how about Where's the Shoes or something like that as the title of the story. And so so that's how it started. From one idea led to the other idea, and thinking about the background. And I really think, okay, so go back, went back to my thinking was that everybody in my business knew how bad it was, especially you're from Michigan. Detroit was the the number one disaster in real estate at that time. So 2008, 2009, it was just horrible. That was the time, the decade in the time as being a realtor, how much struggle we had to go through. So we were actually lucky by, you know, being in Houston, but still, you know, other colleagues had to find part-time job. They had to find something else, and it was just I went through that. So I really think that there's a lot to learn, you know, how to survive as a realtor, what it takes to be a realtor, how we can do better in the future. And so that was another piece, you know, like create this work, just like any, you know, artwork, you know, you have one piece, you have another piece, you have this piece, and eventually, you know, when we sit down and look into all this seriously, and then it started to come together eventually. So that was the idea.
Okay. Now, tell us the story of GGO. tell us what the book is about.
So GGO was you know, came to the States when she was 10 years old. She was the only daughter of this humble couple, and they own an export import business. So she had a bad marriage to begin with, and the marriage failed. She was young, and she had no wisdom girls and dancing the strip club, and she had cash issues. So they talked to her into, well, why don't you do this? Of course, it was not for a long term, but she didn't know, you know, what other choice she had. And, you know, she got to survive. So that's how what she did started. And so she fell in love with this man, the very wealthy man, and married a very wealthy woman. And so they're kind of like power couple in the top-notch circle in Houston. And so, of course, he was married, and things didn't go well. And, of course, it didn't go well. It didn't go nowhere. And so she had to, at the same time, working the strip club, and she met this lesbian lady and was a celebrity boutique, international boutique fashion store owner, I mean, international fashion boutique store owner, and was a celebrity in her field. And so Hannah fell in love with Gigi. And so the story went on, and she got into real estate, and she got to fight for a future for herself. And she grew with her business, with her career, and she not only found her way to grow personally, not career-wise, and she found her way, her path to finally see the future of her personal life, her relationship with the close ones. So that's the story. And then she strives in this business to her better future. So that's what the story is about.
Okay. Now, you're published through Fresh Ink Group. How did you happen to come across Fresh Ink Group?
So, very interesting to this. I just sold this family condo, and it was back in the summertime, and my condo had a really bad leak. And so the upstairs owner called, we talked, and I hurry up, went over there. And so upstairs owner had another tenant was handing me the key to go to upstairs to check on that. And so here came Robert McKenzie, gave me the key. So we met, and then it was a disaster in my unit, and tenant had to be out for, you know, quite a few weeks. But next morning, Robert said, well, you know, if you don't mind, we can come back on Twitter, and I have this book. I was like, wow, you're an author. You know, guess what? I'm about to finish my novel.
What a coincidence.
So it was a God's call, right? So we talked and about his book, although I haven't got to read it yet. And so I was close to finish, and I was talking to a publisher. And then, you know, I knew nothing about the publishing industry. And I actually sent I got on your website. I sent you know, email submission to you guys. And then at the same time, you know, I knew nothing. I didn't know anybody. But again, being in real estate is all yes or no answer. I'm used to, you know, being, you know, rejection is okay with me. And so I was like, well, you know, there's a traditional way. You try to get an agent, you know, and the agent is going to promote you, this and that. Of course, at the same time, I have no confidence in that. So I'm I'm an X factor, okay, in this. This is a new arena. So who's going to promote me if they didn't even know me? And then plus, you know, as you know, Beam, I need an editor, okay, so to begin with. So so I went, you know, checking with a few hybrid companies, and they opened submission and all that, and I actually got three of them email me back, and they're interested. And then Gary replied me, Stephen Keys replied me email and say, Jenny, I'm sorry, I just replied you. It was a month after. He said, your Fresh Ink system got hacked. And he said, and I hope it's not too late if you're still interested. And it was not too late. So we talked back and forth. And that's how I got to know you guys towards the end.
And it worked out pretty good. Now, we're starting to run out of time here, but can we expect another book from you and new projects? Are you working on anything right now?
I'm thinking the next project. And before that, I want to, you know, take just a few seconds to really thank Fresh Ink Group, because I feel that I cannot say thank you enough. And I feel I'm so fortunate to work with you, your group, and your professional, your authors, and you know what you're doing. And I know the traditional way, and I was already like out of rack, running late for the Christmas publishing, but you guys pull it off. You know, now I got my hardcover copy and just in time for my Christmas party tomorrow. So the whole experience has been unbelievable, and the book is beautiful. So I want to shout out a big thank you to you guys.
Well, that's always a good thing to hear. But as being a first-time author, isn't that just a wonderful feeling, holding your book in your hands?
I mean, it was surreal. It was unbelievable. It was just like, oh, my goodness. You know, looking back, was like, wow. If anybody ever asked me what it means of labor of love, and now I deeply understand. that was quite a trip.
Well, that's the holding it in your hands. That's the reward. That's the payoff, because you work on it. And you know, being a writer, I mean, everybody that's listening that's written a novel or two or five, you know the process. And it's a very intricate process, the writing, then going it through the editing process, and then getting it into publication, and then being able to finally hold it in your hands, you know, when it started as an idea. Because all of these books, these stories, they start as an idea, and then they end up as a hardcover book that you're holding on to.
Yes. And there's so much more than that, Beam, and working with you guys, Stephen, is that it opened up a learning opportunity for me. Because if, you know, now I feel so fortunate. It's like, okay, if this was I ever wanted, you know, ever dreamed to be where I am right now, and now, you know, I wake up thinking, well, you know, there's so much more to learn. You know, now I'm really with you guys, and Stephen is so encouraging and tells, you know, he told me, yeah, you got to keep on writing, write short stories, and then show me my website and say, hey, we started with one book, and it will be nice to have another one right here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whoa, cool. You know,
yeah, and the short stories.
Nothing is better than,
Yeah, the short stories. I mean, if you get it, you get those, you put them on the website, and you get enough of them, you put them together in a book, and then you have a short story collection as well, and there's another book for you.
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, I wake up and, you know, there's new things to learn, and it's something I really love to do, and, you know, just nothing can buy that feeling, you know what I mean?
Well, we are honored to have you on board as a member of Fresh Ink Group, so congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
And,
thank you very much, Beam.
And thank you for joining us tonight on this program and letting our listeners get to know you.
Thank you. My pleasure. I hope everybody had fun talking to me.
Okay, yeah, and thank you to the callers as well and to everybody on Twitter for your comments. Now, listeners, next week we are going to have Robert G. Willis-Croft in. He's in on – oh, I'm sorry, not next – yeah, it is next week. Boy, the 15th already. We're halfway through December. Next week, December 15th, Robert G. Willis-Croft is in here live. And the following week, it's going to be Stephen G's and myself talking movies, our favorite movies, and we want you to call in with your favorite movies, favorite lines from movies. We're going to talk the writing process of these scripts and the intricate things about movies. And it's just going to be a holiday fun time, basically. And then on the 29th, December 29th, that's an encore of David Carroll, the NBC news anchor from Chattanooga, Tennessee, with his book, Hello, Chattanooga. We're going to replay that. The first show of the new year, January 5th, is author P.L. Stewart. He's a Canadian author. I believe he's a Canadian author. Pretty sure he's a Canadian author. He's going to be on as the first guest of the new year. So keep that in mind. Every Wednesday, you know where to find us. And again, Jenny, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening and joining us.
Thank you so much. I had a great time. Thank you, Beam, for your hard work. Appreciate it.
Nope.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, all the callers.
Thank you, everybody. We will see you again next week.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com, and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.